Here you go, mate. I'll sort that out for you. Is that high enough for you?
Cheers. Yeah, sure. That's about you. Yeah, just to start off with, just that verse you were talking about, just about how our days are in his book. I'm feeling really overwhelmed. Last night I kept waking up and I was on the verge of crying every time I woke up. And I just knew that God was wanting to do something. And, you know, you're talking about heaviness, and just about 10 minutes towards the end of worship, I just felt like something was strapped to my back. And I'd been asking God to cover us like a blanket with his presence. And it just got heavy. And, you know, I've been on my own for well over a week. And it was only really up until 3 days ago that, you know, I've been asking God, it'd be a really good time for you to come and meet me now the kids aren't around and all that stuff. And there is a hunger and a yearning that is starting to stir, which means that something is happening because I can't summon that stuff up myself. And there's a sense of desperation that's kicking in gear that, the last time I felt like I do now is when I first went to Dudley in the midst of the outpouring. And I feel like we're about to enter into something of similar proportions to what that was about. And I heard about what was happening to Nathan Morris in Alabama. And Nathan Morris has unplugged a well that John Kilpatrick, if you don't know who John Kilpatrick was, he was the guy who oversaw the Brownsville revival. In Nathan's Morris meeting, he says, the last time I felt like this was on Father's Day when the Brownsville revival started. And so they've started to extend their meetings because just last night alone, 10 people just healed of deafness, just ba-ba-ba-bang along the line. And there was a prophetic word that was released over him that just, it just kept me awake. And it was saying that this was a first fruit for him coming back to this land. And I just really sense that actually we've hit the season now where actually we need to really begin to bore a well, because every town needs a well for the people to feed from. And the people in the town who bore the well are the first ones to drink of the water to see that it's good. And I just want to prophesy over this place and over Andy and Heidi, that we have now entered into the boring the well season.
Yes.
I'm just reminded of, I think it was John 4 with the woman at the well, and how people came out of the town to go to that place of resourcing. And Andy talked about, you know, we have hit an imminent stage where people are to start to come in, and God is saying the well needs to be bored first. Which means if they're imminent, it means that the well is imminent. And I just have this real sense that we are about to start to see things that we talk about, that we vision about, start to happen in the near days to come. I even see that even by the end of this summer that we start to see just some spectacular manifestations of what God wants to do, because he is boring a well for you and I to drink from, because then we know where to take the people to drink from themselves. Just when that word went out in terms of worship, that's going to be a real identifier as well in terms of this house, is that people will be healed in the atmosphere before they're even laying on of hands. Because we're talking about a heavier presence on this place. And you know what? There is a price being paid every single day that you walk with God. And we've talked about it before, that collectively when we come together, there is a synergy, there is an exponential growth, that the glory that's on my life matched with the glory in your life and your life and your life creates a blanket and a covering over us corporately, that when people enter into and they're under the bondage of Satan, that things just drop off because of the environment where God starts doing what his very nature says that he does. And the easiest one for us to move in this time, because there's a grace on it, is healing. And so I just want to ask, you know, there was an atmosphere there for healing. Now, who was pushing in for healing in that time? And who felt like something had shifted and changed? Just share.
Yeah, it's a bit different coming to share something. I mean, some of you know that... that I've had real problems with my back, and I've had a slip disc and a bulging disc, and for the last 10 months, you know, it's been a real battle, you know, battle going on over me, and of accepting healing, you know, and I've been saying I've been healed, but I just haven't got the fullness of it. And just in the hills today, I was just really having to move fast because I wanted to try and get to this group and not miss them, and, you know, otherwise it would just go on all hours. And I just suddenly thought, well, I went for a run yesterday, yet my legs feel good and my back feels good. And I suddenly thought, actually, I'm feeling really good. And then I want a completeness of it. I want, you know, a completeness. So coming here today, and when Kaz got up and just said there's healing, and I just said, okay, Lord, I'll take the fullness of my healing. Because how can we go to Uganda and get up and say, we stretch forth our hands and see everyone recover, and my back's still there? Yeah, and that's just how the devil is. So we have to rebuke the devil, and we have to say, get off my back and get off us and get off, you know, whatever it is that you are contending for. And I just felt a real shift happen. And I believe now I've reached a peak of desperation for my back to be healed, and I'm on the downward slope now, the downward slope of a speedy recovery. So that's what I felt.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really good practice, actually, for us after every single worship session, just so it becomes part of the culture of this place. Who got healed? Yeah. Yeah. You know, who felt there was breakthrough in a certain area? Because, you know, a testimony is coming from that root word of the seed, meaning it will do it again. It just produces harvest upon harvest upon harvest, because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. He will always do it again. And I just really felt that over this house... this is that verse that when he sends his word, they are healed. And yeah, I just really felt that just in the spirit, there was a releasing of a word that was to set captives free. And I just really want to focus really in terms of, I want to start boring the well today. And we're probably going over a little bit of stuff that we know, but we need to be positioned and in the right place at the right time to be able to start boring the well corporately. And I just want to talk about life in the spirit. I don't want to talk about the battle between the flesh and the spirit and the fruits, even though that is really important. We covered that probably about 2 months ago. We was talking about the glory and the anointing, and the glory being, you know, the characteristics and the personality of God, that wherever his glory is, just that the healer is present, and, you know, the liberator is there and the anointer is there, and that the anointing is the power, the demonstrations of God. You see, the glory is in me for me to transform me into the likeness of Christ, but the anointing is on me for you. Yeah. And see, we need to keep that constantly in mind, that when I'm at home and when I'm in the secret place, I need to be connecting the glory that's in me with the glory that is in the heavenly realms, because actually that is where I'm seated. And I just kind of want to touch on that. There are two most significant prayers that for this day that have been really expounded really well. And that was the one in Matt 6, where it's the Lord's Prayer, where it says, you know, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the setting out of the parameter of heaven being on earth. So everything that you find in heaven, the rule of heaven, the dominion of heaven, the authority of heaven, the power of heaven, the nature of heaven is meant to reside here on earth, because Jesus said, let it happen as it is there here. Yeah. The second important prayer is in Ephesians 1, and it is that the eyes of our heart may be opened. Yeah. Wisdom and revelation is what Paul prayed on the people. And you see, you need the eyes of your heart to be opened to be able to fulfill Matthew 6. Because you see, you can only have it when you see it. That's the nature of the kingdom. When I see it, I can have it because I've then seen the real reality. But Paul says the stuff that is in the spiritual realm is more real than the stuff that I can touch and feel here. When I see in that real realm, that is the spirit realm, then I can have it because it has to fall into alignment in this realm. When I see it, I then have power and authority to see it manifest here. Do you know, sometimes I think we actually see things and we bypass bringing it to come pass here, because perhaps we just think, well, that was just for me, but actually God is saying, I wanted you to establish that in the earth. We have been called to be an establishing people. This house is an establishing house. Just the thought that keeps coming through my head, Andy, constantly is we're going to outgrow this place very quickly. I keep seeing us moving further in town. That's what I keep seeing, because this place, I mean, when Mark DuPont came, it was just ram-packed. Now, that was just for a conference. But when the glory of God comes, you get more than what a conference gives you, because there is a continuation of what God wants to do. I'm really nervous. Jesus. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ, where every spiritual blessing is resident. Whether you know it or not, contrary to your circumstances of needing healing, needing provision, needing liberation, you are seated in the very place that has every single storehouse that you need to see that happen in your life. Ephesians 1:3. You need to be able to see where you're seated in order for you to then to begin to live that out as part of your identity. When I read out that prophetic word for 2010, I said that there is a window of grace that is about to close. Because you see, God is on a time scale and he's looking for people to get the job done, and he's not going to hang around for another 10 years. And if he doesn't use me, then he'll use you if you want to be used. If he doesn't use you, he'll use you if you want to be used. Catherine Coleman says she was the fourth person to be called with her mandate. Can I just say that we're entering, this was also something else that I saw, Ronnie Moore posted on Nathan Morris's wall, that he was supposed to fly to Hawaii straight after Friday's meeting. He said, Hawaii was a meeting, Alabama is a mandate. And there was just something that really struck a chord in me, that actually we have passed away from meetings and we're starting to enter into the season of mandate now. Because you see, we've been preparing for the mandate, and God has been really gracious in that he has accelerated us at such a rate that actually that feels like the normal pace of things. But you know what? There's an acceleration that is to come upon you that is going to make that look like slow motion. Because 2011 and 2012 are going to be years of such exponential growth that we have still got a little bit of way to get to the place where we need to be to start releasing the things that God has for us to release. See, the creative, prophetic anointing that is to be unleashed on this house is about to be released. Amen. I just saw just coming over, I was just talking to Adam just about manifestation, supernatural stuff. But I was in my study this morning and we just kind of touched a little bit on angels. But I just saw, just in my spirit, that angels were being positioned, warring angels were being positioned over towns and cities, because they're aware that a well needs to be protected. And do you know what? That God has put the down payment, because you see, you have to buy land before you can start building on it and having the building rights to it. The season that we've had, we have been taking a foothold and we have been having the contract to this land through the different proclamations and the different declarations and the decreeing that we've been doing, like on the Wednesday nights and the Sundays and the Saturdays and the conferences. They've all been this house setting out its parameter for the land that it says is ours. And God is now saying that the angels are being positioned because they know that the blueprint of heaven has been released, where they know exactly where the well needs to be. And this will not be the only well in Sheffield. See, God is starting to bring a unity of all the churches together so that actually we can start to bring people from all over the place coming in. And I really believe that Sheffield will be one of the first places in the UK that will really start to see an outpouring of the Spirit that we constantly see in the likes of America and China and South Africa and South America. There was such a heaviness in my heart yesterday saying, why not here? It's got to happen here. And God is saying, well, do something about it. Position yourself. And I just want to touch on the fact that actually it is our responsibility to make sure that we know where we're positioned in the supernatural realm to start seeing that stuff happen here. If you look at Genesis, all the animals were created, and Adam is then created out of the dust. And, you know, he is made out of the very same substance as the animals, but God does one extra thing to him. He breathes life into him. He breathes his breath. And so in the very DNA makeup of Adam is a physical realm and a supernatural realm. The very substance of God was breathed into the substance that is just mankind, that is just this flesh. So God brought about two realms and married them together, and he was then given then a mandate. He was saying, now go and take authority over the land. Go subdue it, fill it. You know, be blessed. He gave every single blessing that needed. Now, did you know that Adam and Eve saw with both their spiritual eyes and their natural eyes, and it seemed like one vision to them? When you actually look at the account of Genesis, you start to see some remarkable little things like the tree of life and the tree of good and evil and the river that you start to see in Revelation that came through prophetic revelation, through the spiritual eyes. You see, they could see all of that stuff that takes prophetic revelation for today. See, the way that they were created with the supernatural realm, the heavenly realms and their physical realm, they were in such perfect tandem with one another that they were inseparable. That is how you and I were created. And you see, what they could do is they could walk and they could see God is spirit, yet they could see God. They walked with him. We overlook that. We think he's like a physical body, but everything was so real to him, whether it was in the heavenly realms or in the natural realm. Because see, the Garden of Eden was the example of what the whole earth was meant to look like. See, we wouldn't need prophetic vision if it wasn't for the fall. We wouldn't need a prophetic anointing. We would already have it because it is so inbuilt into who we are meant to be. We were created to walk in tandem, foot in foot, overlapping the heavenly realms and the natural realm. Yeah. And I'm so gracious that we're in a season now where we are beginning. I just love that prayer. You know, just before Andy comes up, we want to start seeing through the veil. You know, that is the time that we're in. And I know that people have had glimpses, but there is to be an increase of what we're about to see. You're going to be in your homes and you're going to think you imagine seeing stuff. Because there's to be an overlapping of what the real reality is over this reality. Over the heavenly realms where there is all truth, where there is all freedom, where there is all power and all authority is going to start to seep into the natural realm. And it's going to take for you to take hold of that and draw it in so it becomes your new default mode. So it becomes your new standard that actually, because you see, when something is revealed, it means you can go back there again. Yes. When you have seen somebody healed with your hands, there is no excuse for you not to lay hands on the next person. Because you know that you know that you know that the healer resides in you and he releases it through you. How do you know that? Because you've seen it happen. And what it does when we start to see the heavenly realms start to manifest in this realm is that we start running out of excuses. And I love that I'm in a time now where I'm running out of excuses, where actually it comes to the point where it's my responsibility, like we spoke about last Sunday, it is my responsibility to do what I know I'm called to do and to be positioned where I need to be positioned. It's interesting that Satan came and told them that if you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be open and you'll be able to see the truth. You'll be able to discern, you know, the things that God discerns. And see, what Adam and Eve lost sight of was the fact that they already had full vision. Yeah. And so they take the apple and what they feel like is that their eyes have been opened because they see their nakedness. What they don't realize is they actually lost their sight. Yeah. Their eyes were shut rather than being opened. Because you see, what cloaked them was the glory of God, was the presence of God. And you see, your spiritual eyes gives you the liberty to be able to see into the presence of God. Adam and Eve didn't realize that they had no clothes on because they could see into the presence of God. They saw that spirit realm. This house will come under flak. Because there is an audacity to believe that what the Bible says you can have, we're saying we're going to take. Because you know the kingdom suffers violence and the violent take it by force. And you know there are powers and rulers and hosts and principalities that will be shaken by a people who, not necessarily even doing it, but just get positioned in the right place. Because when you walk down the street, Satan sees Christ. Because you know what? Whether your eyes are open or not, when you receive Christ, you are re-cloaked with the glory of God. Yeah. And what we were tasting today is what you've been carrying around for a long time. It's just it's being revealed to you. And when you start to see it, you start to feel that heavy weightiness on you. And all of a sudden, your heart start. You start to feel the heartbeat of heaven. And you start to get angry that people don't get healed. And you start to get angry that there are family issues that seem to be cycles upon cycles upon cycles. And you start to find that comes out of your mouth is, how dare the devil start to try and take ground in the child of God's life? Do you know what does that? That does that when you start to see what is on you and who is in you. The glory of God, the nature of God, covers you like a blanket. It's like a cloak upon you. See, Elisha needed to see in the spirit realm to be able to walk in the natural realm in the way that he did. Yeah. Elijah said, you need to see me go and the mantle will fall. You need to see the chariots come. See, he had to see with his inner eyes to be able to see that stuff. It's the same with Gehazi. Gehazi was in a position where he needed his eyes opening. Once he saw his eyes open, there was a confidence that came over him. There is a confidence that is to start to filter through this house. A confidence is that I am going to be audacious enough to begin to do mighty exploits for God. Remember David's men who went into the enemy camp for a cup of water? We're going to start to do mighty exploits the same way. But, you know, we're going to bring back a lot more than a bucket of water. We're going to start to bring back fountains. Remember that I gave that word for Jeremiah. It says about how the fountain of life, yet there are broken cisterns that people are summing up water in. And do you know what? There are going to be people who feel like they have truth and they're going to meet a Christ who is so real that they're going to feel like they're going to need to give their life back to God again. Because there's going to be true conversion in this place. Because the Holy Spirit is going to begin to draw people himself. I've started to find as well, and I'd encourage you to do it as well, to begin to say to the Lord that, Lord, begin to release the harvesting angels, the gathering angels. Because do you know what? When you release the angelic realm, because, you know, they are sent to assist those who inherit salvation. You see, they are the army of God who can actually do far more than you can do in a day. And do you know, you can release angels to go and gather people to come. Do you know the Holy Spirit is in the business of gathering people to where the anointing is flowing? Why do you think people fly all over the world? People who can't, you know, who are giving up holidays to go and drink from a well, because the Holy Spirit's drawing them. He's drawing them because once they have a taste, there's no excuse. There's a responsibility upon them. And you know, I'm so excited that we've hit the stage now where actually we're running out of excuses. And we're going to really know what we're about. We're going to know what anointing really rests on us. And we're going to really know what giftings reside in us. And do you know what? You can have it all or you can have none. Because what you do have will be taken away. But God's gracious, right? Yes. He loves us. He's championing for you. Yeah, I just want to quickly read, just briefly, from Romans 5:18. Just another little side thought as well. I'm really looking forward to being in a time where the majority of my prayer is seeing revelation than trying to beg God to obtain stuff. Because do you know what? When Christ says, you are seated with me in heavenly places where every spiritual blessing, didn't say some or most, every spiritual blessing resides, you have free access. Come boldly before the throne of grace. You can obtain absolutely everything you need. Do you know, we are really going to start to see that we're going to break out of a begging mentality. God, please heal. God, please heal. God, please heal. God's saying, I've given it to you. Just take it. It says in John, I think it's 14, it says that everything that the Father has, he has given to me, and the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. There's to be a transition in this nation where we stop trying to obtain, and we just sit ourselves in a place where the Holy Spirit can begin to reveal. Because once you can see it, you can have it. God's hand is outstretched to you. Whatever is happening in your life today can be sorted today. Every financial need that you have, the battle takes place in the heavenly realms before it ever takes place in the natural realm. You know when sometimes you get those like really freaky surprises and you know, massive bills just suddenly come through or a tax bill come through? You do realize that that has been warred in the heavenly realms first. Because my Bible tells me that every day of my life is written in this book of life, which means that God has left nothing to chance. Absolutely nothing to chance. And he has taken into consideration the contentions of the devil to set me back, to get me to look at my circumstances rather than my destiny. The quickest way to lose your way is to look at your circumstances. And you know, I'm not saying your circumstances don't exist. I'm not talking about this ethereal. I'm not, you know, saying that all of that doesn't matter. It's just that you have authority over that stuff. Your circumstances has to bow down to what Christ says. Everything that the Father has been given to him, and he's released the Holy Spirit to reveal what he has to you. I don't want anyone to leave this place today, if they have sickness, to leave without feeling like something's broken through in the heavenly realms. And then we stand with you to see that manifest. Yeah. See, that really annoyed me. We prayed for your knee last week, and it really grieved me. Yeah, and I think it kind of flared up again. And that angers the daylights out of me. That says to me that I've entered into a new season. Because do you know what? Christ came to pull down every single stronghold of the enemy. Every single stronghold of the enemy. And he then says, you will do this. You'll carry on my work. You'll do the things that I did and more. Amen. That knee needs to be healed and stay healed. And the devil will soon learn that when he contends with us, he ends up losing far more than he was ever to gain. And do you know what? And we're going to start to have a zero tolerance attitude in this place, that every single stronghold has, that he has in this place, is broken off, because the anointing, Isaiah says, breaks off every single yoke. Amen. I'm really excited. Yeah. I'm nervous, but I'm excited. I know Holy Spirit wants to do something today. And I know it's in tandem with what's to happen in Uganda. I wasn't even supposed to. I have to thank you for those who sowed into me going. But there is something about when God really wants you to be somewhere, he'll make sure you're there. And can I say that this isn't just another trip? Can I say, please take responsibility to pray for us, because the devil knows that we're going, and we need every single bit of covering, because we're going to see things and experience things in the heavenly realms that we've never experienced before. There is an expectation that is going to, even these next few days, is going to start to stir in us. There are going to be things that just happen in the hotel rooms when we're in our private times that is going to unleash a dynamic of the kingdom of heaven like we've never seen before. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. All we need to do is declare it. If we declare it, then it happens. That's the prophetic anointing. We've gone way off. Romans 5, 18 to 19. Let me just say this. I will read this one. I've got it in bold, so it must be relatively important. The Garden of Eden was the forerunner of how the whole earth was to look, exuding the glory of God. Everything you can imagine about God, every snippet, every slice of favor that you see in the Bible, and that's only a slice of favor that you saw on the mighty men. There is an immeasurable amount more that is to be accessed by you and me. Because you see, you know, all of those mighty battles, you know, I am looking forward, and I believe it's going to happen, that we're going to have an Elijah moment, that we're going to have a Mount Carmel moment where we risk saying either this is the truth or God's a liar. Because God is looking for an audacity that dares to put his reputation on the line and putting yourself in the firing line. And do you know what? When Elijah challenged 400 of the Baal prophets and the other prophets, the Asher prophets, is that he was operating in an inferior covenant. Yet he saw God manifest. He saw fire. And not just fire, but on wet wood. How much more, now that the veil has been revealed, how much greater is the glory in the new covenant than in the old covenant? We are a people who have no excuses to not expect the most explosive demonstrations of God's power. There's nothing more he can do. I'm looking forward to seeing the showdown, because when we come back, I mean, me and Andy, we're on the same tandem. I said, to be honest, the only reason I want to go to Uganda is to prepare for the UK. Because there is an ease in the anointing over there, because there's an expectation. And to be honest, there is no forum over here to learn how to operate in the anointing to the crowd of a 5,000, a 10,000, a 15,000, a 70,000. Because, you know, there are people who are carrying the vision that stadiums will be filled again within our lifetime. And we're not talking when we're in our 60s and our 70s. We're talking when we're hitting our prime.
Do you want to take over?
I resign. You know, there is a release of the reality of the covenant that we're in that we've never seen before. I just feel like the Holy Spirit just keeps wanting to labor over that stuff. It just keeps coming out, but just slightly different ways. This house is in final preparations. I don't think it's a mistake that I've just spent a week working on a building site. Now, if you know me, I am the biggest pretty boy flying around this area. And for me to work on a building site is the biggest joke in the world. As you can see, these hands were made for an Apple Mac rather than hammer and nails. There was one job where I had to climb up into the trusses and nail all these hangers or brackets, and you ain't catching me up there. I'm not doing it. I said, you can hold my pay. I don't care. I'm not going up there. I'm not sure whether it's because it would have been too windy for my hair product. But you see, in the natural, God causes you to do things, and we just think, well, they're just circumstance. Well, I'm just earning a bit of money in the summer. But actually, it is a picture of what is happening today. Can we make sure that you look at your natural circumstance and think, there's something happening in the supernatural, because it can't happen here if it hasn't been contended in there. And that's why it's so important to see through the veil, because then when you see the enemy's tactics, this is why dreams are so important. Often what we seem to think are demonic dreams is God allowing us to see the tactics of what the devil wants to do to your life. Do you know when you know the enemy's tactics, you can put stuff in place to defeat him? Do you know that the devil works best under the radar? Do you know that actually, you know, sometimes we get fearful of demons when they manifest. They only manifest when it's their last resort. Amen. Do you know that? Do you know that the anointing draws the demonic out? So when people start manifesting, it is their last clinging on effort to try and scare you away from breaking the bondage that's over someone's life. If you see someone starting to manifest a demon, start declaring truth, because it can't stay. It can only stay when it is undetected, residing in someone's life under the radar. The anointing is to be so strong on you and me that you'll be in your workplaces and people will just start kicking off. And do you know what? They then become a legal target for you to start shooting the arrows of truth into people's lives. You do not need permission to expel a demon. If they are manifesting, it's manifesting for a reason. It's because somebody, see, a demon is only allowed to be there on a legal right. See, the devil is a legalist. The only reason that he could take the authority that was given to Adam is because Adam signed over the contract. That's the only reason why. See, he'll use every single trick, every wile, every cunning lie that he can come up with. And you know what? Most of the time, his lies look like truth. See, he didn't actually really contradict God, what he said. He just twisted it a little bit. Just manipulated what God said. Just caused enough doubt for Adam and Eve to doubt who they were. Once they lost sight of that, that was game over. Yeah. It was easy for him. I find slightly amusing as well that Adam and Eve would also have seen the devil come into the garden. I find that quite interesting, that Adam was told to nurture the earth. Use the example that I've given you in the Garden of Eden. Spread that across the whole earth. I find it interesting that Adam never really asked, well, why is the devil there? Because you see, the devil had no glory left on him. So when the devil walked into the Garden of Eden, there was a shift. Adam and Eve would have had the discernment to be able to see that the devil wasn't like everybody else. And you see, the greater glory that we live in now, the time and season that we have now, is that we're going to be able to spot the devil walking into our garden from a mile off. Yes. And you know what? The same tactic he will use is he will try to get you to take your vision off who you are in Christ, where you are seated, in where every spiritual blessing is. Do you know, because it's the same power who raised Christ Jesus that lives in you. When he can take your focus off that resides in you, off the very person who cloaks you, like a cloak, like a mantle. Once he can get your eyes off that, you begin to inherit what he wants to give you. That's why your vision is the most important key that you have that he's given you. For wisdom and revelation, that we may come into a greater knowledge of who he is. Because when I see him, I become more like him. I go from glory to glory to glory to glory for the rest of eternity. And when my eyes are opened, I begin to see the tactics. Now, I think this place is on the front line of being able to see what the enemy wants to do. I believe that there's a real cutting edge prophetic gift in this place that has been set aside not only for us, but for this whole region. We really need to take up those prophetic words that says that we're to be an apostolic resource center. Apostolic, sent out ones. This place is to be a first fruit in the nation where we begin to send out to start plowing other wells. Yeah. And you see, let's be honest, we really don't know what we're doing. Because we've never been there before. Yeah. I was just saying to Adam in the car, I was listening to Bill Johnson on the way out, and I guess it's just timely, but he said the reason that God revealed himself as a flame in Exodus was because that we have a tendency to idolize what we've seen of God, past moves of God. We want to try and do it the same. We want to try and rehash what has gone in the past. You see, a flame changes every millisecond. You see, we all know that God is a consuming fire. He is constantly changing. And see, there is to be a new model of what God wants to do in here. Yeah, and we have the opportunity to lay such foundations that future generations don't look back to this and see this as the glory hour. But we're to go from glory to glory to glory to glory. We are to constantly give birth to ministries, to people, to anointings that are to take what they've inherited and go from glory to glory to glory to glory. Have we read Romans yet? We haven't, have we? Romans 18 to 19. Sorry. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many who were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Jesus came as a man. He set aside every bit of his godness. He emptied himself, it says in Philippians, and came to show as an example what it is for a man to walk rightly before God, to be covered in the glory. So when he went through his baptism, he rose out of the water, the heavens are rendered. And just as a side note, I've never seen in the word again where it says the heavens were closed. The heavens were rendered, and in the form of a dove, the Holy Spirit came and remained on Jesus. At that point, and that point only, were the two realms came back into alignment with one another. It was when the Holy Spirit remained on him that Jesus then began to see through the rivers of revelation, the rivers of wisdom, etc. It's then after that that we see, in terms of chronologically, that we see the account in John where he sees Nathanael under the tree and he sees in the Spirit. It, to him, it's so natural and he just calls it forth. Nathanael comes and says, how did you know that? And he says, if you think that is something, you wait and see what's coming next. Because all of a sudden, now the Holy Spirit was on him. Jacob's ladder became a reality in Christ. Angels ascended and descended. He became the stairway to heaven. Do you know that Jesus reversed the curse? The biggest curse that was that man died because they lost sight of their spiritual sight. Because when you have your spiritual sight, you have life. The only closed heaven that you have is in between your ears, I've heard people say. The limit of the anointing that you want to flow through your life, because if the Holy Spirit remained on Jesus without measure, the only one who can restrict the measure is you. Yep. It's by your choices. It's by your lifestyle. It's by your focus. I'm really glad that I found a house who really embrace the concept of the seven spirits of God. See, the majority of the British church have no clue what you're talking about. Seven spirits of God that sit before the throne, if you look at Revelation 4, seven burning lamps, Isaiah 11:2. The seven spirits of God is the Holy Spirit. But within the Holy Spirit, there are anointings and rivers that flow out. Jesus said to the woman at the well that there will be rivers of life that flow out of you, not river. There is more than one river. Those rivers are, it's the Spirit of the Lord. That is the anointing that comes upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me to get the job done. There's a spirit of wisdom and revelation. The wisdom, the what, the where, the how. The revelation, the sight. The spirit of counsel, the blueprint of heaven. You know, there will be times when we're in this meeting and we would have seen the meeting before it happens. And do you know what? We're going to have to align people to sit in certain places to correlate with the vision that God has given us. Because God works by order. See, Moses was demanded to build the tabernacle exactly as God told him because it was a representation of what already existed in the supernatural realm. Read Hebrews. We are going to begin not only just to go into meetings, but when you start to enter into a season of mandate, God will leave nothing to chance. He will begin to show you exactly what is to happen because he never does anything without telling his prophets first. I've started to realize now that there are so many promises that God has said that we're just not living out. So everything that happens in this place, we have the right to know that it's going to happen before it happens because we stand in the place where we can hear. The prophetic anointing is so strong in this place that we're just going to start to really believe, in a sense, our own hype. The things that we decree over ourselves, we're going to start believing it in such a way that's just going to start to manifest. I just think now, just thinking back, that actually when I first came here, I was driving over the car and it was actually down this road and I knew that Andy was going to prophesy over me, and I knew what he was going to say. And it was just a flash in the mind. And then the reason that that happened then gave me faith that I was in the right place at the right time. Because you see, God doesn't do anything without telling his prophets. Now, I've only experienced a sliver of that. Andy's only experienced a sliver of that. But there are going to be things that happen in each and every one of our lives. And we're entering a time where secret sin is going to be increasingly detrimental to the vision of the house. Is that actually God is going to begin to reveal things to each other. So if you don't think God's going to do that, then you don't know that God's serious about getting this job done. And you see, the reason he can trust that in this house is because this is a house of love. And each and every one of us have a desire to be healed and restored. And do you know what? And it sometimes just takes somebody to come and cut the bondage because you can't get out yourself. There's no shame. That's why I confess your sin to one another, because when you confess, somebody else then gets in on the act and they have the insight to be able to cut off the strongholds that are in our lives. You know, there are patterns in my life that perhaps I don't even understand or even realize that they're there, that I need people in this house in love and in grace to come and cut off my life. Because do you know why? I need to fly. And I cannot afford to have that sin that so easily entangles me, holding me back. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses that are champion on bushfire to take a nation. There are fires that are being ready, being kindled, just ready to burst forth. I was at Dudley, and it was just before God TV came, and it was for the Firestorm Conference. And I had a vision, a picture or whatever, but I just saw across the UK underlying pipes, and it was like I was in Iraq. So you know we see when there's like a pipe that comes out and then the flames are constantly shooting like oil. You know, there's such a richness of anointing that is in this land that when we begin to bore for those wells, we're going to find that actually we have struck oil. You see, what's happening in the natural, BP and all the mess that's going on there, is a representation of what is to happen, because there is to be an uncapping that is going to be uncontainable. Can I just, was it you who was saying about that they've found oil in that place as well and they're not allowed to dig? You see, Andy was just saying that there's a thought going on now that BP, where they're currently based, they have found just a little way off from that place that there is even more oil than they realize, and they need permission from the government to be able to dig there. And there is this kind of general thought, and, you know, looking at the way that the whole BP directorship is working, you could probably see that actually there is a possibility that they allowed an untapping to just show how much oil there really is there. And you see, there is oil that God sees that we haven't seen, but he is going to give us permission, because the government of God is going to begin to settle on this place. See, some of us are going to begin to start having prophetic dreams where we turn up in the courts of heaven and we begin to petition for what needs to happen here. Do you know some of the battles that are happening in your life, the devil's having an easy ride because you're not showing up? This is to be a time where we start to get the yeses and the amens to the promises of God. And we just call forth every single promise in each and every one of you. You know, the destinies that are inside of you, your destinies are unachievable without being in the right house. If you're in the right house, you need us and we need you. Together we fly. John 6:63, the Spirit gives life, and the words that I've spoken are spirit and life. Jesus was so in tandem in the heavenly realms and the natural realm that when he spoke in the natural, things were happening in the heavenly realms. The anointing that is on this place, and we need to recognize it, not contend for it because it's already there, is to begin to speak, because the words that are coming out of your mouth are spirit and they are life. What are you speaking over your families? What are you speaking over this place? Did you leave one Sunday and say, I was bored? If you were bored, you didn't encounter God. That's right. And the only responsibility that falls on is you. Begin to speak life. The life you are living now today is probably the life you spoke of 6 months ago. Your life sets out a path. Your words set out a path before you. Start calling in the harvest. Start saying, I see people filling these seats. I see us moving to another building. All I'm doing today is just speaking life. And we will begin to walk in those steps. 2 months' time, 3 months' time, we're going to start to see the things that I'm speaking about because we've had the audacity to speak it out and believe it. The kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but it's about righteousness, peace, and joy. The very special thing about that is the one is joy. Jesus says, ask of me and I will give it to you so that your joy may be complete. Yes. Do you know that when there's an alignment with the heavenly realm, the reality of what God wants to do in this realm, your joy is only then complete. If your destiny, if you're not seeing steps take forward, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but you do not have the fullness of the joy that is meant for your life. Because it's only when you begin to align yourself with what God says in the heavenly realms, where you are seated first before you're seated here, when you begin to align yourself in all those things that God says for you, your joy is then complete. Because you are incomplete when the heavenly realm and the natural realm don't align together. Because the model was Adam and Eve before the fall. The cross not only happened and the blood was only poured out for us to have a ticket to heaven, but it was for us to be positioned to be able to bring the establishing of the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't say, behold, repentance is near. You see, repentance is just one part of the kingdom of God. You've then got healing, you've then got deliverance, you've then got freedom, you've then got the captives being set free, you've then got the brokenhearted being loved, you've then got the poor being fed. Jesus said, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When we begin to see through that vision, your joy begins to be complete. And your joy is complete when you begin to decree your words that are spirit and life, and you begin to see them manifest in your life. I've said two times or three times now when I've spoken is that the first houses to get sorted is your own house. He said to, I think it was Joshua 4, consecrate yourselves because tomorrow, Joshua 3, consecrate yourself for tomorrow the Lord is going to do mighty things. There is an imminence that is upon us. I really don't know what to make about what I'm feeling because I just know that there is a weightiness that has just come upon me in the last 2 or 3 days. And there is a spirit of urgency. And as soon as you say, yes, God, I will go, you've burnt your bridges. You're scuppered. And I just want to, once again, I'll give you a warning. Do not go down this path if you're then to backtrack because you'll be worse off than you ever were. The God of love is about to move in the most mysterious ways. I keep seeing bushfire completely filled with unlovables. I see us filling a church with the unwantables. Is that a word? There are going to be some times where all we do is feed the poor. This place is going to be humming. It's going to stink. Do you know that within you is the fragrance of Christ? To some, it's the stench of death. And to some, it's the fragrance of life. We're going to have people in here who in the natural stink to high heaven. But the fragrance of Christ is going to so overpower that scent that there's going to be an aligning that in their lives we're going to start to see the most amazing transformations. I don't want to be a part of a church where it grows by migrating Christians. I don't want it. For me, that's just false growth. Stay where you are and bring something new to the house. Don't go where there's a new flow going. Come get some, but go back. We don't need more Christians coming just to settle in under the banner. What we need is people who don't know Christ getting on fire for God and being completely transformed. And what that then does is for those who remain as part of this house and have the vision of this house, it then spurns you on to go even further because you start to see what it is to live a lifestyle in the heavenly realms, manifesting in the natural realm. Seriously, Andy, sometimes, you know, what's the anointing that's going to be on us is that literally all we need to do is just go into the center and say, come back. And people are just going to get transformed and saved. Do you know, it just takes us to go out. It's actually probably something we just need to put into practice, actually. Because what do you really need? we're just going to be able to go out there. And say, we can fulfill a need for you for that, for now. We'll feed you. We've got some blankets. We've got some food. We've got some clothes. You can have a wash. But when they get here, we start to enter into that Peter moment. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. And there's a transformation that is so beyond. And it's going to be physical. You're going to be able to see it on their faces. You're going to be able to see the hard-worn lines begin to disappear. Because God will move where those who seem unlovable and who seem unwanted. I want us to be a kingdom church. A kingdom church. There are going to be people who end up working in high-flying jobs, yet only 2-3 years ago, they were at the very bottom of the gutter. And they are going to be an advertisement for the anointing that is in this place. We're going to start to see schools transformed. We're going to start to see workplaces transformed. Wherever you set your foot, the anointing that is in this place resides in and on you. And wherever you go, you are going to have the authority to release what happens here. And can I say this church will be a house that sees more outside of this place than it does inside. And we're going to be proud about that. Because people are going to sometimes come and say, well, I didn't see this or I didn't see that. And say, well, you come on a Monday morning then. You come and have a look. You come and see what God's doing through this body of people. And this whole city will be transformed. You know, I'm fully behind the vision that Andy has when he heard in the spirit realm and he just heard the angelic songs in Hillsborough, in Hillsborough Stadium. Can I say, that is our turf. You're talking half a mile up the road. Do you know that is our playing field? This here now, In Mark 2, Jesus says that he talks about the sowing, the guy who sows seeds and how some falls away and some grows up in thorns. But the ones that are planted in good soil, it says that'll be tenfold, 50-fold, 100-fold. Do you know that actually you don't have to stay at tenfold, but you can move to 50-fold? Yeah. You don't have to stay at 50-fold, but 100-fold. But you have to have had tenfold to be able to get to 50-fold. And you have to have had 50-fold to go to 100-fold. Do you know what? I really believe that we are about to set into, as magnificent as it's going to be, we're going to start to enter into the 10-fold season, which says to me that we've got so much more to walk into. I read it 2 days ago and I was just like, oh God. We are only moving into 10-fold. Yeah. Dream big, and he will do so far above what you could ever dream or imagine. That's your 50-fold and your 100-fold. The vision that we have for this place, as awesome it is, we're talking about taking a nation. God says he wants to do more. Yeah. Now, call it foolish, but you've set yourself quite a big target already at 10-fold. You've set yourself a nation to see redeemed, to see the reality, not just the theory about the kingdom of God, but the reality of the kingdom of God manifest in people's lives. God is going to take us way beyond these shores. You watch. You watch. There will be churches that are under the bushfire banner that will be planted in other nations. This place is to be a significant house. And you know it's significant because we're hearing things before the time it comes. Two types of people. Those who enjoy revival and those who bring it. Those who enjoy the move of God and those who bring it. And we have all been brought from all different areas of the country. And we've all been brought to a place where we have the opportunity to bring what God wants to do for this area and for this nation. That's exciting. Romans 12:1. I'm going to try and wrap up, but I've kind of mishmashed really. Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now we know what his will is to see the reality of heaven established on earth as it is in heaven. That is the Christmas package of what God's will is, all wrapped up with a bow on. My life needs to be modeled by my worship. That phrase again keeps coming to mind. Worship yourself into an encounter. Worship yourself into healing. Worship yourself into breakthrough. Worship yourself into deeper revelation of what God wants to do in and through you. Worship yourself into impartation. The woman at the well had a question about worship. Is it on this mountain or that mountain or is it in Jerusalem? And he says, I tell you the truth, God is spirit. And the worshippers will worship in spirit and in truth. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the one that opens the eyes on the inside of your heart to be able to see the realities of heaven. Your worship, if with the vision of worshipping in the heavenly realms, will release revelation and truth to you. Because truth and the Spirit are inseparable. So when I begin to worship in Spirit, and worshipping in Spirit is knowing who I am, is knowing the fullness of who I am, is knowing where I am positioned, and I direct my worship into that realm first. I don't just sing along like Christian karaoke. But I sing into a dimension that seems unseen to me, but actually there is a reality to it because my words are, they are spirit and they are life. But so when I release that worship into that dimension, truth comes flying back at me. Because what it does, when you release that very essence of worship, that creative being inside you that is like Adam, where you are created both of spirit and of natural, what you do is you dislodge more revelation that is in heaven for you, because it is the glory of kings to search out matters. There are things hidden, not from you, but for you. So when you begin to worship into an encounter, worship in spirit and in truth, you are not just given out, but every hand that you thrust out of worship, you come back with increase in your hand. Because truth is revealed to you. So every time we worship, I leave knowing even more about Christ than what I did when I came in. Because the Spirit of truth led me into all truth through my worship of him. My life needs to fall into alignment. And then when I get truth, my whole life starts to focus on him. And I begin to act in ways that are far holier than I've ever been before in my life. I start making choices that have the Holy Spirit in mind. I started to hit a season, even increase than before, where I'm thinking, well, what will the Holy Spirit think about that? What will the Holy Spirit say to that? Am I going to have to repent later if I do this? And the Holy Spirit is quickening your discernment of the heart of God. The Holy Spirit searches the very deepest matters of the Father and reveals them to you. Your worship is your vehicle into that realm. And it's when we begin to walk in greater truth that our minds begin to be transformed. And it is not solely the way that we think about things, but it is about having your vision become clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. The reality of the heavenly realms through the eyes of your heart becomes so clear that it's very difficult to distinguish between the two realms. That is possible. Jesus did it, and it's what Adam was created as. We have been restored. Just as one man brought condemnation through disobedience, so one man reversed everything through obedience and brought salvation and healing and freedom and ultimately vision of his creator. I just want to finish with this. My wife had a dream, and she saw... I wasn't there, unfortunately, but she saw the most stunning woman in her entire life. So beautiful. In the dream. So, so stunning. And she said there was no flaw, no imperfection. She just looked and it was just like, wow. Just look how perfect she is. And the strange thing is that she knew it was her. And, you know, I think this might be just something with women in general, and especially when you've had babies, but they tend to hone in on what they appear as the negative before they ever see the positive about themselves. A husband's hardest job is to convince her that he really does love her. That he really does see her beautiful, even though she's just had a baby 2 days earlier, you know. But she saw something that she recognized as her, that she couldn't quite align in the natural. And we was driving, I think it was something about this road, but we was driving along this road and she was telling me, and I was kind of not listening. And you know, and I just kind of added glibly, well, yeah, it's just you and the Spirit. And it was only about 3 or 4 weeks later when she reminded me again what I said, that the ramifications of that statement really drove home. Do you know what? The devil tries to see you through the eyes of doubt. He tries to see you through the eyes of failure. He tries to see you through the eyes of your mistakes. He tries to see you through eyes of insignificance. And the only way that he does that is by taking your eyes off who you are in the spirit realm. Can I say that if you were to see yourselves in the spirit realm, the Satan doesn't see what you see. But he knows what you see and he hones in on it. Satan sees you as restored, as righteous, and blameless, and pure, and spotless because he sees Christ covering you. Failure in this room needs to leave. Shame in this room needs to leave. There's a song by Anthony Skinner. He says, I crucify you. I crucify you. I crucify shame. And he's speaking to those things, the lies that the enemy constantly tries to sow into your life. You are a daughter and a son of the Most High. You are seated in heavenly places. You have every single resource that you ever need to fulfill your destiny. You sit in the very presence of God. When Satan sees you, you are light. Nothing can touch you without your say-so. The devil is a legalist. Don't give him grounds to buy into a lie that he wants to sow into you. The reason that you feel shame is because you bought into a lie. The reason that you feel failure is because you believed what the devil wanted you to believe about yourself. God himself, not only resides in... Adam had the breath of God in him. You have the God of breath in you. If you are worthy enough and acceptable enough to God for him to reside in you, who are you going to listen to? I really feel like God wants to do some business today. I really feel that we need to start breaking off lies off people. There's stuff in the majority of us, some things that we know, some things that we have suspicions about. Yeah. Yeah, just two things just to start off with that I really feel that God wants to deal with now is the spirit of rejection and the spirit of shame. And some of you may have been through this process, goodness knows how many times, and felt like you dealt with it. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. The outpouring of the Spirit in this house is to come in tandem with the events that happen in the world. So when you see travesty come in, know that there's an outpouring there as well. Holy Spirit. Let's just stand. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yeah, we just welcome you, King of Glory, in this place. We just thank you, Lord, that where your glory reigns, Lord, so does your kingdom. I thank you, Lord, that wherever your presence is, there is liberty. I thank you, Lord, that wherever your presence is, there is identity. I thank you, Lord, wherever your presence is, there is breakthrough, there is healing, there is provision, Lord God. Father, I thank you that you are a faithful God. Just begin to pray, people. Father, I just thank you that you are a God of love. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are slow, Lord, to anger and that you are ever compassionate. I thank you, Lord, that you are a God of grace. I thank you that today, Lord, is a new day. The Lord, that to the hearts of men and women in this place, Lord, this is a day of salvation afresh, Lord God. That they leave this place, Lord, like they have never left before, knowing that they have encountered the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of glory who is in this place. Holy Spirit, rest. Rest on this place, Lord. Lord, your presence is so heavy right now. Just some of you may feel, just as I kind of move my hands, I feel like it feels like treacle. Feels like I've been punched in the arm. It's just that sort of, it feels like you're pushing through something. You need to know that's just the presence of God. That's the glory. This is the atmosphere for miracles, because the God of miracles is resting upon you. Resting upon you. And the Father would say to you right now that you can live within a resting like now. You can have this for the rest of your days. And he's saying, who will go? Who will go? Who will go? There is to be a touching on lips this afternoon with the burning embers from the throne room of God. Lord, we release those ministering angels right now to people's lives right now. This atmosphere is pregnant for something to happen. Yes. It's pregnant.
Just feel that the Lord is going to remove weight. Supernaturally, if you want to lose weight, press in. And then I challenge you to go home and weigh yourself. Just feel the Lord just wants to remove some weight off people. And I'm the first.
Oh, bless you, Lord. We're just going to push in for a bit. This is part of digging the well. We don't want to move on too quick. Thank you, Lord. Just start raising your voices, those things that you're contending for, the things that you bring. Start speaking truth over yourselves. So da ba ra da ye. Le da ba sha. I am a son of God. I am a son of light, that wherever I walk, liberty flows out of my being. I thank you that I am a temple of the Most High. I thank you that my words are spirit and they are life. Lord, we just cover this whole place with life right now. Tangible life. Tangible life. Tangible life. Lord, I speak to every spirit of rejection right now, and I command you to leave every single heart in this place. Every single spirit of shame, we rebuke you in Jesus' name, and we command you to leave from this place right now. Father, we decree zero tolerance of Satan's lies in this place. This is a house of truth in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, just dig that well. Dig that well. Dig that well. Shh. Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we loose every bit of provision in this house for vision right now. Every single bit of vision. Lord, supernatural means of provision, Father God. Assign war and angels to this place, Lord God, right now. Gathering angels, Lord, to go out and gather. Soda baba sheke desa. No madala yese. Muta tasala. Kuta tala yena mokondo. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I just really sense the Holy Spirit is just saying I'm making firm the foundations that I've been doing over these past few years in your lives. And for some, it's been a season that's been quite painful. And the Holy Spirit needs to know that you have been positioned for such a time as this. Yes, to Lord. Begin to walk into significance, to begin to walk in footsteps of destiny.
Yes.
And there's someone here that who even this week has even doubted, who has even doubted that they're in the right place. And I'm talking about geographically. There is to be a peace to come upon your home. I just rebuke every single lying spirit, Lord, that comes against the truth of destiny in each and every one of these vessels right now, Lord. This atmosphere is just pregnant. Father, start to give birth to vision. Start to give birth, Lord, to vision. Lord, we call in every single vessel in alignment, Lord, of the heavenly perspective in with the natural perspective. And just now, before God, any circumstances that you have, bring into line, bring into order with the vision that God has placed in you. So something about this house that the foundation is ready to be built on.
Yes.
It's taken a while for the foundation to be built. You are the very fabric, the very materials that will build this house. Father, call into alignment every single dream. Yeah, shame walk out the door. Shame walk out the door. It goes. It goes. The emotional baggage that was out of your control as well leaves today, Jesus' name. We break it off in Jesus' name. We take authority over every single lying spirit that says it was your fault. We break it off today. We break it off today. We break it off today. I just sense that the Lord is poised with a sword to begin to cut through the lies that have so easily entangled us. Oh, thank you for your freedom, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is a new day. New day. Oh, Radha Baba Shana Makandaleye. Tidabrodabobo Sonamamandaleye. Tegida Dele Sido Brodabo Shundo.